Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and Friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends. Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
This is Sheffield Live.
We're open for business live.
Hello, good morning, and welcome to episode 395 of Business Live here on Sheffield Live FM and DAB Radio online and wherever you find your podcasts. I'm Jamie Veitch. It is Thursday the 26th of April as this show is first broadcast on the radio and published as a podcast, and we have Dr. Susie Ridout joining us on the programme today. After Susie, we have several brand new funding opportunities for businesses, social enterprises, and other organisations indeed too. So those will come up later on in the programme. But we have an insightful interview today, which covers serious ground and also offers some extremely important pieces of advice on approaches to supporting people. It also includes tips, some advice on bidding for, successfully securing, funding and contracts with other organisations. Dr. Susie Ridout has set up, with other folk, Lotus Collaborations in order to address the needs of autistic survivors of sexual violence and sexual abuse, because there is a gap, a real huge gap in understanding amongst many service providers and the general public. And she points out the needs of autistic survivors very often do not get addressed, and the autistic voice is not heard at all. She points out how these needs are very different to those of the predominant neurotype, why people need to be understood and need to have services that do understand that. She points out what that means in practice, and she talks about some particularly shocking examples of poor practice, the impact that that has, but also some good practice as well, with some extremely important pieces of information, some insight into better practices. Lotus Collaborations itself is a young organisation. So Susie talks through the benefits of support from peer-to-peer mentoring programmes, Sheffield Social Enterprise Network, for example, other networks and support programmes. She has also already secured some funding and contracts, and gives us some idea about her experiences in doing that. So there's a great deal of insight, a great deal of important material to digest within this interview. I talked with Dr. Susie Ridout this week on Wednesday about supporting the needs of neurodivergent survivors and setting up the social enterprise itself, bidding for contracts, securing funding, peer-to-peer mentoring and other support. And we're going to hear from Susie now.
We're open for business live.
Susie, thanks ever so much for joining us on Sheffield Live today on our radio show and podcast. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you, Jamie. Thanks for having me on here.
Well, you're welcome. I'm really interested to hear more about Lotus Collaborations. Tell me a little bit more about what it is that your social enterprise is doing.
Lotus Collaborations has been set up to address the needs of autistic survivors of sexual violence and sexual abuse, because there's a gap, a very big gap in understanding amongst service providers and the general public, and our needs very often don't get addressed. The autistic voice isn't heard at all, and our needs are very different to those of the predominant neurotype, the predominant public. So we do need to be understood, and we do need to have services who do understand that.
If the needs of autistic survivors are not properly understood, not properly met, what is the effect then? How does that impact upon people?
So, for example, we need to be understood from the point of contact, really. So in terms of communication, if people are not addressing our preferred communication preferences, our communication needs, if our sensory needs are not addressed. So, for example, if we go into a police station and all the sensory sensations are overwhelming, it's too bright, too noisy, too many people, we'll find that very difficult. So all those sorts of things need to be addressed. And that will be a very different experience for people than from people who are not autistic.
Indeed. And you mentioned our needs. Can you tell me a little bit about what has led to the creation, the launch of Lotus Collaborations, and how long you've been going?
Yes, I mean, it's come out of my personal experience. I'm a neurodivergent survivor of sexual violence. So for me, my neurodivergence is autism, epilepsy, and something which is a little bit like dyslexia. It's called Erlen syndrome. And it was set up last July as I felt that there was a burning need to address this gap in service provision, because many people that I spoke to literally did not understand my needs. And it made it very, very difficult for me to explain my experiences. So we felt that we needed to make that space for people. And also, when you go through a journey of recovery, so you've gone through the point where you have been attacked, you may go through the report to court process, you may not do, you may have counselling, you may not do. But after that, there's a sort of space where people are left in limbo. And it's that space that we're seeking to fill and bring people together, to collaborate with people, to say, look, you know, in terms of addressing people's well-being, in terms of training people to raise awareness about our different needs of sexual violence, you know, that's a space that we want to fill.
Understood. That gap sounds significant. Who else is involved in Lotus Collaborations?
Yeah, so currently there's myself, and there's the company secretary, Sanya Bassin, and we're interviewing for 4 new places in the next few weeks.
I understand it's early days. You mentioned launching last year. Tell me a little bit about some of the impacts that you've been able to make already in what is, I understand, a short time so far.
So we've done various bits of training with specialist services, with sexual assault referral centres and police. Who else? People like that, really. So that's where the training has been focused. There's a consultancy around which I've been involved in as a consultant, not in the writing of the report or things like that. I've just been somebody participating in that, and that's informing sort of training around police, their police responses to victims of sexual violence. And my specific input was around neurodivergent survivors. So that's been our focus so far. And now we're at the point where we're engaging more staff in in Lotus, and we're a UK-wide organisation. So when I say staff, it's not staff as such as a team, it's adding to the team. And they can be anywhere in the UK, because the idea is that we have sort of satellite projects and training and whatever all around the country. So that's the point where we're at now. And we're looking at funding by doing a sort of engaging with our beneficiaries. So through a survey.
So there is a huge amount going on.
Yes, building
on,
there is.
Yeah, and building on the work you've done. I mean, I understand and have seen horrifying data and statistics about the underreporting of sexual violence. And then many of us will have seen the horrifying statistics about the number of cases which make it through to court and successful convictions. On top of that, to not be appropriately supported with reference to needs, communication preferences, must leave people in a situation where it's very, very difficult to move on in many aspects of their lives. And the need must be rather extraordinarily huge. Do you have an idea of how many people are ultimately affected who would benefit from your support?
I think that's very, it's an interesting question, Jamie, and I think it's very difficult to put a figure on that, and I wouldn't want to. The reason for that being that there's many people who don't talk about it because they're have very real fear of being blamed, of having stigma attached, being rejected by family, friends. And, you know, I have many friends who are survivors, many colleagues who are survivors, and amongst them, all of them have experienced just those things. And practice amongst health practitioners and people who really should know better is often really fairly worrying, actually.
Yes. Tell me a little bit more about the ways in which health practitioners are responding or are addressing survivors who are neurodiverse, and what you've observed in terms of poor practices and perhaps what you've observed in terms of better practices as well.
So I think in terms of poor practice, one of the very obvious points is, so for me, I have seizures which are not controlled. One thing that people might do, which is a typical response, is to want to take me to A&E. Absolutely my nightmare, you know, very bright, very noisy, lots of people. You know, if you're a survivor and you've got lots of unknown people around making lots of very loud, weird noises and things, that's horrible. Then you've got the added sort of exposure to being touched, to being asked lots of questions. You know, that's a health nightmare. It really is. And we often, as a result of our experiences, have a fear of or a lack of trust of medical practitioners. So that's very often linked to our experiences of, you know, following up being raped or abused, sexually abused. So, you know, it's really important that health practitioners do work hard to understand our needs. I think examples of good practice is absolutely when they do, and you really feel listened to, and they're repeating back what you say to you, or what you say to them, and using your own terminology, and saying, right, so this is what I understand that you've just said. This is what I understand in terms of how it's impacting on you. And this is what I'm now understanding in terms of what you need. Those three very simple things really make you feel validated and take away an awful lot of fear. And it's that sort of attached fear and anxiety that, you know, we carry around as autistic people a lot of the time anyway, but if we're survivors, even more so, and going into services where we feel we might well be judged, it just exacerbates the situation.
Yes, I imagine it must. And that tip, I think we could call it, but that is perhaps not the best way to describe it, but that piece of advice that you've given in terms of showing people that you have listened to and understood them, that you've heard them, and how and what your understanding is. People can then feel reassured that you have, or let you know if you haven't properly understood them. I think that's something that perhaps many social entrepreneurs who listen to this program as well.
I mean, just to pick you up on that as well, Jamie, and follow that through. I think I've benefited an awful lot from Sheffield Social Enterprise Network. I've had a huge amount of support from them, and they've helped with initial training and things in terms of setting up a social enterprise, which has been absolutely invaluable, and being able to liaise with other people, bounce ideas off them. I would really recommend that to other people. The other organisation that has really been invaluable, and I'm still sort of attending, is Sheffield Peer Mentoring Network. And that's, again, for social entrepreneurs, many of whom seem to be autistic or neurodivergent, strangely enough. I don't know why that is. But anyway, it's a really nice space, a safe space to work in. And for someone like myself, who's had lots of, I suppose, negative experiences going into sort of busier settings or work settings, those types of spaces where you do feel safe, where you can feel heard, where you are asked to voice your experience, talk about a particular problem that you might be experiencing within your organisation, and get other people to suggest ways, or say things like, have you thought about doing it like this? What about this? You know, that's a really invaluable sort of resource. So I'm very lucky to have been able to access that. It's been really appreciated.
Well, thank you, Susie, for mentioning those networks and organisations. We'll include links to those in the show notes. So anyone listening on FM radio, do bear in mind you can go to the podcast version of this, where we will link through to resources mentioned by Susie, such as the Sheffield Social Enterprise Network and the Sheffield Peer Mentoring Network that you talked through as well. And that's an absolute demonstration of the value in approaching organisations that specialise in supporting social entrepreneurs. And clearly, from what you've said, Susie is having a positive impact. I'd like to ask you for a little bit of your advice beyond what you've talked about what the organisation does. You have already secured, in the short time that you've been up and running, you've secured some funding and you've secured some contracts. So I wonder if you could give us any advice for how to do both. What have you learned that might help other social entrepreneurs who are listening when it comes to either securing contracts or securing funding?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest lessons that I've learned, Jamie, and it's surprising that I didn't think about it, but I didn't. I literally did the user template that was there, and there were sections that were like, well, write 50 words here or this amount of words here and whatever. But actually, there was nothing wrong with my application at all. But other people did better ones, and how they did better ones was that they had engaged with their beneficiaries. Well, that makes absolute sense, doesn't it? But I hadn't thought about that. Anyway, so engaging with your beneficiaries is absolutely fundamental. Otherwise, why would you be setting up your enterprise if you're not going to do that? That's almost a blindingly obvious question, really. So we're right on the verge of setting out surveys. They'll go out in the next few days to engage with our beneficiaries who are neurodivergent survivors and our allies. And we're asking, I think it's five simple questions, really, for them to address. And they don't have to do all of them, just put their thoughts where they feel like. So the first one is looking at, you know, what they feel the gap is or gaps are in relation to autistic people and sexual violence and service provision. Looking at collaborations, what sorts of collaborations they would feel they would like to see, what sort of training gaps they feel there are and that they would like to see. Again, the same question around consultancy and the sorts of projects and activities that they would like to see set up around the country. And there's another space at the bottom just for any other comments. So if people want to be involved with us, they can sort of put that comment in there, or they can contact us through our website, which is lotuscollaborations.co.uk.
Thank you, Susie. And I imagine that those survey results were going to be extremely important to you as an organisation to develop what you're doing as a community interest company, as a social enterprise. I think they will also inform multiple organisations. And I wonder whether you will be publishing any summaries from the of your findings on your website in due course. How will people be able to learn more about
I think the short answer to that, Jamie, is yes, because we've got the website being updated, but we will have the results of that survey there. Obviously, all the data will be anonymised. People won't be asked to put their names on that anyway, even at the point of submission. But just to have, I mean, a snapshot, really, because that's all it ever will be, a snapshot of the responses around the sort of work that is needed is invaluable. You know, and there's so much work to do in these areas anyway that it wouldn't matter how many of these types of organisations there were, there'd always be more to do.
Yes, indeed, indeed. Well, Susie, it's been such an education and really interesting to learn more about what you're doing, why you're doing it, and your progress so far. I wonder if there's anything else that you'd like to tell us whilst we're on air. And on top of that, I'd like to encourage you to give out the website address one more time.
Yeah, I think if people want to contact us, the website address, and you can contact us through what the website is, lotuscollaborations.co.uk. The email address is lotuscollaborationsuk@gmail.com. So you can contact us through there. And even if you're not terribly sure what sort of things that you would like us to see, just ask a question. You know, we're very happy to get back to you and have some sort of meaningful interaction about what it is you think you might have. If you think you've got a good idea that we haven't thought of, and I'm sure there's many out there, please do contact us. And if you'd like to get involved with setting up, you know, projects or training or whatever yourself, then again, do let us know.
Thank you ever so much. Well, Susie, thank you for joining us on the programme today.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
We're open for business live.
You're listening to Shefford Live, 93.2 FM, DAB Radio, online, and, of course, wherever you get your podcasts. We've just heard from Dr. Susie Ridout, one of the founders of Lotus Collaborations, talking about her social enterprise. Susie herself is an autistic survivor of sexual violence, and Lotus Collaborations offers education, training and consultancy services. Susie shared her insights about what Lotus does, why it does it, and how better to support neurodivergent people some valuable pieces of insight that Susie gave there that will be of benefit to many organisations working in health and supporting people in multiple contexts. If you just tuned in and you've missed the interview with Susie, then of course you can find the podcast. Just search for Business Live, Shefford Live, wherever you get your podcasts, and you will be able to find it. My thanks to Susie. We have a couple of funding opportunities for you before we go today. First of all, the PPL Momentum for Music Fund, which is open for applications until the 20th of May 2024. So, this fund offers grants of £5,000 to £15,000 to artists and bands to help break through to the next level of your career. Now, that could involve supporting you with recording, touring, or marketing. The awards are run by the PRS Foundation in partnership with PPL, and you can find full details on the PRS Foundation website, prsfoundation.com. We will, of course, link to that from the show notes. Npower has launched its Npower Business Solutions Foundation, a new fund to help create stronger, greener, and more sustainable local communities. If you are based within a 50-mile radius of its office in Leeds, or indeed its office in Solihull, but more of our listeners will be based within a radius of 50-mile radius of the Leeds office, then and you're a not-for-profit or an educational institution, and you're less than 2 years old, then you could be eligible for the Npower Business Solutions Foundation. And you can find out more details about it if you go to npowerbusinesssolutions.com. Micro and small businesses can apply for grants of between £25,000 and £50,000 for projects to address business challenges and opportunities using artificial intelligence. This funding is from Innovate UK with the Department for Science, Innovation and Technology and subject to approval by HM Treasury. Full details are on the UKRI Innovate UK opportunities page, where you can also often find a wealth of other interesting opportunities, grants, funding and competitions. That's it for this week's show. Thanks ever so much for listening.
We're open for business life.
Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield. Made by you. Thank you.
La colonia latina. Acelera. Dr. Now. From Russia with love. You only live twice.
Two, one, two. How's it going? This is Shlomo. You're listening to Sheffield Live.
He had a shotgun to my head, and I thought that I was dead. I woke up last night in a fever. Ooh.
cliff top and I'm looking out to sea. The sirens of the Netherlands are beckoning me. I'm trying to write a ballad that makes you want to stay. They're easy to come up with, but they're difficult to play. Cause I know what I'm supposed to do, but I don't know if I can. Sell the world a story about a woman and a man who meet at the beginning, together they belong. And it feels like they are winning till everything goes wrong. Take me to the open road, run until my heart explodes. Take me to the open road, or give me back the love I'm owed. And suddenly it hits me, this isn't my house anymore. I knew you wouldn't listen, so I've given you carte blanche to build a clown asylum on the Neverland Ranch. I can't believe it's over, I can't believe I'm free to sleep with anybody who wants to sleep with me. I never wrote that ballad, there isn't such a song. I tried to make you happy and then everything went wrong. Take me to the open road, we
know how much I care. And I get that fever feeling when Sheffield Live is on the air. Hi, I'm Kelly Walker and you're listening to Sheffield Live.
Been on the right side or the wrong side out.